we read, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Father, we want to thank you for the day. Thank you for our Saviour who died for us, and Lord, all that entails for us, and all the blessings that we receive through him. And Lord, your word has clearly made it very clear to us from the very beginning in Genesis right through that anything good that we enjoy, all the blessings come entirely through your Son. Father, it is he that we must believe and trust in and receive, and it's through his name, it's through his righteousness, it's through everything that we can enjoy the blessings that are found in that heavenly realm at the throne of your throne, dear Lord. And so we thank you that, Father, we have heard the gospel, and Father, had our minds enlightened and been able to receive that gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come and we open our hearts and minds to you and your word this morning, and pray that as the Spirit of God works within us, as you have promised he would, that Father, we would be enlightened to know how we ought to be living, so that, Father, we may reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, in this local church, in our homes, and, Father, in our community. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I started the message with a very simple question, and that is, how selfish are you? How selfish do you act in your marriage? How selfish do you act with your siblings at home? How selfish do you act with others here in this local church? Does your wife or spouse think you're selfish? Do your brothers and sisters think you're selfish? Do others here, if they were to be honest, think you're selfish as well? And we saw how we can look at children and see their selfish acts very easily, but we seem a lot more blinder to our own actions, which are selfish. We can't seem to see them so easily. And last week we saw that there must have been some problems there at the church at Philippi, and some were acting selfishly. And so, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote to these believers, encouraging them to live like Christ and not be so selfish. And in chapter 2, Paul started to reveal to them, or he revealed to them in verse 1, how that because they were saved, they had four things that enabled them to live like Christ and not be so selfish. They had all the resources available to them in order to be able to live that selfless life which was required of them. And for those that weren't here last week, we discovered that the word "if" there at the very beginning of verse 1 of chapter 2 should be, or could be, translated due to the fact, or since you have these four things. And we discovered that the fact is that we as believers have the consolation in Christ. That is, we have the encouragement and that wonderful example from the life of Christ, so that we know exactly how we ought to be living. We also have comfort of love. And that is, we have that comfort that comes from God, so that we should be able to act selfishly ourselves. And I explained that last week. Also, we have the fellowship of the Spirit. There is something that binds us to one another that nothing in this world has, and that is the Holy Spirit Himself. We are in partnership with each other through the Holy Spirit. We are all baptized into one body through the Spirit of God, and that should enable us to live a selfless life more than anything else. And also we have the working of God within us to produce those graces of tenderness and mercy so that we are able to live how Christ wants us. And so we, and particularly as we're looking at here in Philippians, they couldn't say, it's just not in me to live like this. I can't help acting selfish. They couldn't say that because they had everything they needed in order to live a selfless life. And that is the same for us. Don't ever say, it's just not in me to be able to live like Christ and be selfless. Because basically you're saying, the Holy Spirit just is not in you, which enables us to live in that way. And so that's what we saw last week. And after reminding the believers at Philippi of some of the resources which were available to them to live like Christ, Paul then goes on to exhort them to live the way Christ lives as well. And we see here, basically he says in verse 1, since you enjoy four things that make it possible to live like Christ, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy. Make me a happy man. That's what he's basically saying. And then he goes on to say that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and so on. Paul shows them how a Christ-like, humble, selfish person should be living. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. I've called this the self-test. The test to see if you are selfish or not. And there are two ways you can respond to this. You can either inwardly fold your arms and say, well, I'm going to do my best to get through this and not discover anything that's bad about me. Or you can say, Lord, I'm open. I pray that you'll show me that if there is any sinful way in me, any selfish way that I need to deal with and get right. And so you can approach this in two ways, and I trust it'll be that openness. Now, there are only seven questions. Now, that's a pretty easy test to get through. Surely we can get seven questions right. If seven questions, make a lot of students happy, I imagine. I guess unless you get them all wrong, and then that wouldn't help. But seven questions, and so let's have a look at the seven questions that we see here for the self-test. In verse 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Question number one, are you like-minded? Paul tells the believers there at Philippi to be like-minded so that they may be like Christ and not be selfish. Now, the phrase there basically means be of the same mind or thinking the same thing. And although there are a lot of possibilities that we could pursue when we think of this concept of being like-minded, and as I started to go through it, I realized I could spend all day just looking at this point, but I got to get through this chapter at some stage, so I'm going to make it a lot more simple. But if you want to put this concept into its simplest form, so it's best to understood, you would come to the point that those who are like-minded will not be troublemakers. If you are like-minded and living like Christ in this way, you won't be a troublemaker in your local church or in your home. Selfish people can't get on with others. They are always disagreeing. And whenever there is strife in a church or a family, and there are arguments, there's disagreements, there's friction, you can be sure that that is a place where people are not like-minded. They are not thinking the same way. They have opposing views. And either everyone in the church or a few in the church, or maybe even just one, is being selfish instead of acting like Christ. For example, just say you have a church that has the mind of Christ. Now, if that is the case, everyone will be thinking the same way. True? If we have the mind of Christ, we're all going to be thinking the same way. Now, just say one person isn't or doesn't have the mind of Christ. They will stand out in amongst everyone else who has the mind of Christ, won't they? They won't be thinking like everybody else. They won't think the same way. They'll think in a different way. And you can be sure they will be the ones that stand out in a church that has the mind of Christ, and they will be the ones causing the problems in the church. Same happens in a Christian home. If you have a home where they have a desire to honour the Lord in that, but you have one selfish person in that home, you can be sure they will be the troublemaker in that home. They're not going to live like Christ. They want everything their own way. And you see, someone who is selfish and not Christ-minded will find themselves always having an opposite view to everybody else. They will be the troublemaker. Everyone else is wrong but them. They'll be the ones in the middle of arguments. They'll be the ones upset with everybody else. And the reason why they're upset with everyone else in reality is because no one else, or not everyone, is doing what they want. And that's why they're upset. They want everyone to do what they want. And so this sadly happens even in churches at times. The majority of the church is thinking this way, and they have that mind of Christ in directing him in that way, but the selfish person who doesn't like that way, and it may not even be something scriptural, but they don't like what's happening, they don't like it that way, and so they will be in opposition to everybody else. Now, it is true, there are times when you have a church as a whole that is going one direction that is completely opposite to the Word of God. Sadly, there are some churches that want to promote gay marriages, or they want to even elect a gay minister or whatever. And yes, they don't have the mind of Christ there. And you might have one or two that are perceived as being troublemakers, but they are the ones that have the mind of Christ. It does happen at times. But let's not kid ourselves. This is not usually the case. Usually, the case is the selfish person is the one that has the trouble thinking like everybody else. And when that happens, they're the one that's not happy. They're the one that criticizes, and they're the one that complains. They're the ones that argues with everyone else, trying to get them to think their way. Question to ask yourself is, are you usually the one in the middle of arguments in this church? Or in your home? Do you seem to find that everyone else is wrong? And you're the only one right? Do you find yourself getting upset with lots of people because they're not doing things the way that you think they should be doing it? Now, it could be true. You could be so much like Christ that you are on such a high spiritual level that no one else has quite reached your Christ-mindedness yet, and that's why we all disagree. Or it could be that you're acting selfishly. You're too selfish to even admit you're wrong. Too selfish to admit that your way isn't the best. Too selfish to admit that others know better than you. Too selfish to see that maybe your approach with dealing things is not Christ-like as well. God's Word tells us a selfless person is like-minded. They have the mind of Christ, and there is oneness. A church that is Christ-like is like-minded. That's the first thing. Second thing we see here is it says, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love." Now, there are two ways you could look at this. Paul could be saying everyone should have the same object of love, and that is everybody should be loving the Lord Jesus Christ, having the same love. Or you could read it as saying they all should have the same love for each other. Everyone should be showing the love of Christ toward one another. there should be a mutual, sincere love for each other. And I believe that's the way that we should read it, because this verse and this passage talking about how brethren should treat one another. And I believe Paul is saying here, or the Holy Spirit is saying, that we all should have that same love of Christ toward one another. So a selfish person, on the other hand, doesn't show the same love to others as others show to them. And you know, it's sad when you're in a relationship and one loves the other more. One shows love and care and concern, while the other one only cares for themselves. They don't show love unless they have an ulterior motive. There might be something they can get out of this, and so they show some love at that time. But they don't usually. They don't show concern. Who cares if that person's hurting? Who cares if they've got a problem? It's not my problem, so I'm not going to worry about it. They only think of themselves. And they don't do anything if it doesn't interest them. And that's my problem, all right? Not interested in that, doesn't bother me, so why should I even get involved, all right? That's how selfish people act. And, you know, that makes for a very sad marriage, particularly if you're the one not being loved. And it makes for a very sad church as well. Some are caring, some think of others and not just themselves, because they have that love of Christ within them and they want to show it to others, while others just receive all the love but they don't actually show anything themselves. Question to ask, I'd like to ask you, is how much do you give to this local church and the people in it as opposed to what you receive from it? A selfless Christ-like church will be full of people who have a genuine love for each other. You know, that means it will be a sincere love, first of all. It's not put on in certain times for a show. It's sincere. It's real all the time. You know, some time ago when we went and stayed with some people, stayed overnight with them, and in the family, it just looked like a normal, loving, happy family. And I'm sure to a greater degree it was and is. But after dinner, just seemed normal. We were sitting there talking to the people, and the husband, as he was talking to me, was packing the dishwasher and cleaning up all the dishes and putting away as he was talking to me. And the wife was in the kitchen cleaning up the pots and pans and doing things. And it was just nice, and just a nice time. Now, the next day, the wife was very excited how her husband actually packed up the dishes and put it in the dishwasher for once. He doesn't ever do that usually. Very excited. But then she did realize it was probably only because we're there. If we weren't there, he would never have done that. And so that act of love was really only a show. It wasn't sincere in that regard. And how often does that happen in your home? A visitor comes and the whole family is just this such loving family. It's amazing. Everyone speaks so kindly to one another. Everyone helps. Oh, let me help you with this or that. And there is just selflessness oozing out of everybody. But when the person goes, everyone goes back to normal. Now, some people are still just the same. They still do exactly the same as what they were doing when the visitors were there, and they are the ones that have a sincere love, who show the love of Christ all the time. The other ones that go back to just normal, and it's different to when visitors are around, that's selfishness. That love is not a sincere love. And sadly, that even happens in churches. The love shown isn't sincere. There's some benefit in putting on a nice act and being kind or loving or doing something, and so the person does it, but it's not sincere. And so true love is sincere, but also true love is mutual. All right? If you're selfish, you won't be loving others the same way they love you. For example, you won't be understanding when people make mistakes, even though people are very understanding when you make a mistake. You won't be willing to cover up and excuse those odd things about people, even though they excuse and overlook those odd things about you. You won't go the extra mile to help others, even though a lot of people go the extra mile to help you in your time of need. You won't be submissive to someone in this local church when they're placed in a position of authority, although you will expect others to be submissive to you when you're given a position of authority in this local church. You won't forgive and forget, although others forgive and forget what you do. You know, you won't encourage the weak and build up others, although they encourage you when you're weak and you need help. You know, a selfish person doesn't show the same love that they receive. Can I ask you to consider the love that you receive here and the blessings that you enjoy? Are you giving and doing the same thing back? Well, a selfless person shows the same love to others that Christ would show. How do you pass that test? That's question number two. Question number three, it says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. The Greek word, or the question is, are you being of one accord? And the Greek word there means to be joined as soul with soul. The concept is like when people will stand arm in arm to not be broken up in any manner. And you see that on the news that sometimes people, it's generally the people protesting are goofballs in some way, but they're protesting with something, and so the police come in and they try to break up this group, to scatter them, and so what do? They link arm with arm, so these policemen won't be able to break them up. They're going to stay of one accord. Now that's what the word is talking about here, but it's different where we are joined soul with soul. Now, that is a blessing because that is exactly how Christ treats us. We stand soul with Him. You know, He has told us that we are linked with Him. He will never forsake us, all right? He will always be with us. He'll never leave us. He stands with us through thick and thin. We can be sure He will always be there. But a selfish person isn't like that. Selfish person won't be faithful, won't stand with his brother. When the enemy is trying to split up a church or a family and he's trying to cause divisions and so on, a selfish person will not stand linked soul with that family or with that church. No, they will be the ones that are very quick to criticize and condemn, very quick to turn on others, very quick to run off to another church when they're not happy with what the pastor is preaching. They don't stand true. Instead of being faithful to others in the local church, instead of sorting out the differences, instead of forgiving the wrongs that have been done, instead of clearing up misunderstandings, instead of working out differences and remaining strong in the Lord, a selfish person will unlink arms and run very quickly. Because now this situation does not suit me, so I'm out of here. That's selfishness. Christ doesn't do that to us, praise God. And neither should we as well. So, how quick are you to turn on others? Are you unlinked? How quick are you to turn on others? Well, a selfless person is faithful to his brother and sister. Now, in verse 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's the next one. But that's very similar to being like-minded, so I won't go into that. But it says there in verse 3 this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. The next question one is, let nothing be done through strife. Do you do things through strife or out of strife? The word strife there basically means to feud with somebody, contentions with somebody. Now, this shows me that not everything was rosy there at Philippi. There were feuds going on, maybe one person against another, as we discover as we go later on in a few other chapters, or there could be one group against another group, but they weren't like-minded. And this feuding that was going on was influencing their motivation for doing things. And isn't it true that the motivation for doing something can make all the difference? I can come to you out of love and share with you that I'm about a sin I can see in your life that's breaking my heart, and I'm so scared that if you continue like that, it's going to ruin you. And if I come with that motivation, it makes all the difference. If I come with the motivation that I've got it in for you, and I'm really upset with you, and I've got something on you, and now I can really rub it in, that's not going to be received very well, is it? And if something's done out of love and not strife, it makes all the difference. And here we see that a selfish person will say things and do things because of a feud or a disagreement that they have with others. You know, for example, a person can be in a church, love the church. Church is such a blessing to them. But then one person in the church does something to them or says something to them that hurts. Now there's tension. Now there's this word, strife. Now the person, if they're too selfish and too proud to sort it out God's way, will then start to simmer on that hurt. And then this simmering will start to affect their actions. Maybe they're having a birthday party for them or someone in the family. And they invite everyone, but they choose to leave that person out of the birthday. Now, they could turn around and say to others, oh, look, there's just so many to invite, and we just couldn't invite everyone, so we had to leave a few people out. But they know very well the reason why they left that person out is so they can hurt them a little bit. That is doing something out of strife, and that's how a selfish person acts. You know, maybe they will start to be kind to people that they've never been kind to before. And from a distance, people could say, look at how loving they are. It is so nice that they're starting to be kind to those people. But the reality is, they're being kind to them out of strife. They're trying to make those people that they want to hurt jealous. Or they're trying to rally up a group behind them to hurt that person. And although on the outside it may seem like they're being so loving, they are doing things out of strife, and that is how a selfish person acts. I might get a knock on the door and someone has come to share their burden. They're so concerned about someone in the church. And to me it might seem like they're genuinely concerned for that person. But the reality is they've got strife with that person. And this is a way of just spreading a little bit of happy news about their filthy sin. It's done out of strife. And that's how a selfish person acts. And sadly, in churches, there can be feuds. I know it's hard to believe when we've got such a good church like this. But in some churches, there are feuds and tensions. And sadly, people don't choose to deal with it God's way. They allow that to fester, and then it affects their actions. Things are done out of strife. But a selfless person will not do anything out of strife. And you know, I have to assess and judge myself. Lots of times when I know someone's not happy with me, when I know someone has tensions with me, I have to be sure that what I do is not done out of strife. Sometimes there are things that I would do to everybody, but because I know this person maybe is not happy with me, I'm not sure if the reason I'm doing it is out of strife or not, so I choose not to do it, just in case. We need to be careful of that. Question number 5. It says we're to do all things, do nothing through vain glory. Do you do things for self-glory? Now, a selfish person will do things to get noticed. And if they're not going to get noticed, they more than likely won't even do it. And I find that unless it's blatantly obvious, sometimes it's even hard to know why you're doing something, if it is for self-glory or not. Often, it's not until you don't get thanked, or you're not congratulated, or when you start, it's not until you start to feel as though people don't appreciate you that you discover the real reason why you're doing something. And lots of times we can say, I'm not doing it to get pat on the backs. Pats on the back, that's it. I'm not doing it to get pats on the back. But when you don't get a pat on the back, you start to get a bit upset. How come no one's ever even said thanks for that? And then you discover a bit of vainglory has snuck in. You know, sometimes maybe we, instead of being upset that that person didn't thank us, we should be thanking the Lord that He withheld that thanks so we can discover what's going on in our heart. A bit of self-glory. But then it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Do you consider others better than yourself? Question number 6. Do you esteem others better than yourself? You know, that this concept only comes from Christ-likeness and nothing else. The natural man generally feels as though he's better than most people. Not everyone, but most. But I'll tell you this, if you consider others to be better than yourself, it will affect how you treat them. That is for sure. You know, just say it's Saturday morning. There are certain things that you've been waiting all week to do at home. And finally the day comes, you get that free time to do what you want to do. And then there's a knock on the door. And you go and open the door, and lo and behold, it's the Queen. She's come all the way from Buckingham Palace to see you. Now, if she says, I'm not going to try her accent, but if she says, do you have time for a chat? If that's me, I'm saying, yes, this is the Queen. Like, she's a lot more important than me. And so I'd ask her in. I would probably quickly tidy up a few things, all right, and bring her in, and then I'd make her a cup of tea and bring out the ultimate cup, you know, the swan's cup, and give her the swan's cup to use. And then I'd introduce my children, and this is my, this child and this child, and I'd sit there nervously sort of talking to her, you know, because this is the Queen. That's how I treat her. But just say it's the knock on the door. You open the door, and it's this Indian-looking man with a Telstra salesman badge. Now, I guarantee I will treat him differently. All right? He's not that important to me. In fact, he's a pest. He's going to ruin my whole day. If he says, do you have time for a chat? I'm going to say no, all right? And if he stays, I just close the door. You see, the way that you perceive someone will change how you deal with them dramatically. And sadly, in a local church, there are some people who we consider like the Queen. And there are some people we see as that Telstra salesman. I haven't got time for you, but I've got time for you. And sadly, that is us considering ourselves to be better than some. Some we see, wow, okay, yes, I'd love to talk to you. Others, no, I haven't got time. And you know, you come to a Friday night when there's one way, if you're a leader. If you have a selfless, Christ-like attitude, each person, doesn't matter how they're dressed, how they smell, doesn't matter what their hair looks like, you will consider them like the queen. You will consider them better than you. And you will treat them accordingly. Same with youth group. Same with anyone that walks in this door. And I wonder if you had that Christ-like attitude to every person here, that you consider them like a queen or a king. Would you have more people around at your home for a meal? Would you spend more time talking to some than what you normally would do? You know, the Lord deals with this attitude in James. The church there had respect to some and not to others. The rich people, they treated like kings. The poor people that came into their midst, they treated like a doormat. And God says this attitude is sinful. It's just not being impolite, it is sinful in the sight of God. And you know, our spiritual pride must make our Heavenly Father furious at times. A selfless person considers everyone more important than them and treats them like that. But you know, the last one is, it says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Do you think of others and not just yourself? The word look there is to have an eye on, to inspect or consider. You're going to really look at this. And it doesn't say here, or it's not saying that you never consider yourself. And that's a blessing. We all have responsibilities that we have to consider, all right? It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy ourselves at times, but a selfish person will only do this. I have my responsibilities, couldn't be bothered about anyone else. There are things that I enjoy and want to do, couldn't be bothered with anybody else. But a selfless person does think of others as well. You know, a selfish person won't stop and consider how their actions affect others. Have you ever stopped to really consider how you make people who are in leadership here, I'm not just talking about pastor, but someone that says, hey, I'm willing to put the effort in to make something work. Things in the local church don't just happen. People have to put up their hand and say, I'm willing to make this work. I'm willing to run this thing. I'm really ready to, willing to organize these things and put in the time. But have you ever stopped to think how you make that person feel when you can find something wrong with what they're doing? Or you criticize what they're doing? Why aren't you doing it a better way? Why aren't you doing it this way? How come you can't change that? Have you ever stopped to think how you make people think, feel when you do that? Ever stop to think of how you make people feel when you leave them out of something and not consider them? Have you ever stopped to think how you make someone feel when you laugh at them or tease them about something? Selfish people don't even stop to consider how other people think. They don't look upon them and consider them. And when their selfish actions are drawn to their attention, they don't even consider it. They don't stop the way that they're doing it. Who cares? As long as I'm happy with what I'm doing, that's all that matters. You know, before you do something or say something, do you ever stop to think of how it affects others? If it'll hurt them, and then decide not to do it. You know, a selfless, Christ-like person will think of others and not just themselves. And so, brethren, that's the self-test to see if you're selfish or Christ-like. Are you like-minded or are you a troublemaker? Do you have the same love for others that they show to you? Are you being of one accord and faithful to others, or do you turn on them very quickly? Do you do things out of strife or refrain from it? Do you do things for self-glory or not? Do you consider others to be better than yourself? And do you think of others and not just yourself? This is the test. But you know, more importantly, if the Holy Spirit has been showing you that there is some part of the test you are failing miserably with, more importantly, you need to ask yourself is, how will you respond to that? Do you hear it, understand it, feel the conviction, and then walk out the door and change nothing? Where you are a hearer of the Word of God, but you're not a doer. You know, it doesn't change anything if you just get convicted over your selfish actions in some way, but not change anything. You know, God says that it's the person that hears the Word of God and then understands the Word of God and sees where changes are need to be made and then makes the changes, they are the ones who are blessed. The one who confesses their sin before the Lord, the one who goes and confesses their sinful actions and asks for forgiveness to those that they've been selfish towards, and those who get into the Word of God and say, Lord, change me in this area, and then even maybe ask for others to help them change in that area, these are the ones who are blessed in all their ways. Don't think that just hearing the message and being convicted, yes, is going to change anything, because it won't. There's actions that are required afterwards. And you know, the blessing comes from those that obey God. And if, brethren, if the Lord has spoken to you in one area, can I encourage you to stop fighting the Lord and start obeying Him? Confess your sin. Make restoration to those that need to be done, if that's what it is. And then start working through God's Word to get those things changed within your life. That's what the Lord wants us to do. So that we may be like-minded, of one accord, and so on, in this local church. And so that's the self-test. I trust it's been a blessing to you. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you that we have a Saviour, and we have a God who acts exactly like this toward us. There is not one speck or one ounce of selfishness in you. And Lord, we are the beneficiaries of this. We enjoy the love of a God who is selfless. And Father, we see that manifested through the life of our Saviour, as He not only became a man, but He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Lord, I pray that these things will be manifested in us as well. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.